Globally, humans are facing massive problems that are widely ignored by governments and the media.
Like personal space invaders.
I've had it with these couples that sit on the same side of the booth.
Yak mouths.
Stupid stick figure bumper stickers.
Almond milk. You cannot milk an almond.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps, and we are the hosts of I've Had It. Pumps, tell the listener where they can find us.
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nailed it.
See you next Tuesday.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Forever Dog.
Go ahead.
Well, that was fun filming a podcast. Oh, well, this is it. I thought we were done.
I know. This has been like a full like morning of anticipation for me, because I knew that there was going to be so much tech involved in this, but I'm happy to be here.
I am super, super happy to be here because, you know, we've both been guests on other people's podcasts and, mm-hmm. you know, not blowing smoke up anybody's ass, because a lot of people have podcasts, but people will have, have said to you and have said to me, oh, you guys should have your own podcast. Not necessarily because they all think that everybody wants to listen to us, but I think they think that's sort of the next step for everyone. Ah. Everyone's voice should be heard. And I mean, not everyone's voice should be heard.
Not everyone.
But I mean, the moms said, hey, like, why not give it a shot? And why not?
Yep. This is an interesting concept for me, because this is like one of those moments where, you know, where you've always wanted to do something.
Right.
You've always wanted to, like, you know, a podcast would be so fucking fun. That would be mm-hmm. so interesting. Like, I've always wanted to do it. I was actually on RuPaul and Michelle Visage's podcast once, and that terrified me.
Did you do that recently?
No, it was years ago, and I was very, very terrified. And it was just like, I'm still like part of that generation that still has respect for radio and like just listening to people speak. And so it scared the shit out of me. So it was, you know. That was one of the first podcasts I ever did. Mm-hmm. I did one with Alec Mappa and Calpurnia Adams and Rachel True. So yeah, these have been really fun. I'm glad that we're doing this. Everyone, welcome.
Not welcome.
Well, I just want to say welcome. Like, this is our first one.
You're so gracious.
Escúchame. Like, we have to be nice, you know? Like, we have to say thank you to everybody.
Well, we do that anyway. But, you know, regardless of how nice you are, people will always keep you and remember you in a certain time. There's people that like it that way. So, you know, for everyone, we are from 2011. Everyone that's because, you know, I mean, there's clearly drag fans and there's drag race fans, right?
Ooh.
And I have a hard time discerning I have a hard time using the term fan when someone says, oh, I'm your fan. I have a hard time with that, just because I think, well, you know, you're one of my supporters and I appreciate that, but I always feel like it's a little lofty to be like, oh, those are my fans over there. Like, I don't want to be that way about it, but I do feel like there are people that are only, they only know drag from Drag Race. And we have a lot of friends here, especially in the LA area, that know us prior to Drag Race. So then when they saw us on the show, they were like, yeah, but I know you different than that. And then, so then when you leave Drag Race, there's people that will only remember, even now in 2020, you know, will only remember, I don't know if you specifically, but I know people remember me a certain way. And they think that's, you know, It's always that thing, like, can you read, like on Cameo, I don't know if you do Cameos, but people be like, can you read my friend? And it's like, well, I don't know your friend.
Yeah.
And do they need to be read? Like, it's hard to do because you don't want people to think all you're capable of is saying something. Because, you know, we could get into that later. I'm already becoming
verbose. I completely understand. I think, you know, I think we've all suddenly, as performers, as queens, as artists who have been doing this for years, are finding ourselves in a place where people have a certain expectation of what sure. we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to say it, how we're supposed to be funny and interesting, and whether or not we are staying within the box and the confines of what Drag Race is and all that bullshit. But I think what we have to offer, this is our first podcast together live. Large and in charge, the woman with the legs or whatever.
Well, and that's the thing.
But I'm just saying that I think what we have to offer is a different perspective. We remember drag before Drag Race. You know, I am not your friend because of Drag Race. I'm not your friend because we're Rue Girls. I'm your friend because I fucking knew you when you first started doing drag and vice versa for me, I guess.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think... And
that's, you're from Norwalk and I'm from La Puente. So
right. And so. And that's really, I mean, and I think when we talk about, like, you know, people's looks or people's style or whatever, because a lot of people have been raised on Drag Race, their reference points will be Drag Race or mm-hmm. or things related to Drag Race, whereas our reference points might be so specific to a year or a video or a song or a theme night at a club. Those are reference points where someone, you know, I'll wear something or I'll say something to you. Like we've talked about before, you know, the idea of, like, back when it was like distressed jeans with like little kitten heels, and we would do like
real low waist, though. The jeans were real low waist that exposed your yes. midriff.
Yes.
And then maybe like a shredded.
Well, not mine. I didn't. Not mine.
I did. And, you know, it was that shredded, like, sure. I'm in the video top with like safety yes. pins. And you yes. were like, you were the Britney video.
Yes.
Or the Christina video. Yeah, I remember that drag very, mm-hmm. very vividly.
Yeah. So. And we always had those clear heels, too.
Clear heels are a staple. That's where I feel safety when I see a pair. I got to tell you about this one time, the first time I ever performed in New York City. Remember when I moved there in 2007?
Yeah. Yeah.
I fell in love with a boy that I met in Provincetown. And I decided, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Moved to New York, figured out my job with Top Model was switching over to New York City. And I remember I had missed doing drag so much because drag did not have the same impact or even popularity that it does now. Mm-hmm. Drag Race hadn't even started yet. It didn't start until what, 2008, 2009? So yeah. I remember Lady Bunny told me, she was like, hey girl, I know you do drag. I've seen you. I met you in Provincetown. You know, there's a gig. There's a spot open over at Escuelita in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, yes.
Yes, mama. I was like, really? Yeah, and they're like, yeah, and I'm hosting that night. You should come. You should perform. And I was like, yes. I'm like, what should I perform? And she's like, you should do your Through the Fire number.
Oh, the best.
I was like, wait, are you sure that's the number that I do where I, like, you know, sing Through the Fire and I'm burnt and I do Chaka Khan and I shake an entire bottle, large bottle of white baby powder onto the audience. So Lady Bunny was like, you should do that number. So I showed up to Escuelita. A back room full of queens, and they're all gorgeous, including Jiggly Caliente, who I did not know was Jiggly Caliente at the time, because this was like 2007, 2008. And Jiggly was the nicest bitch to me in the whole room. She was like, you know what? I recognize you from Top Model. Oh my God, I love you. I love mm-hmm. you. So me and Jiggly connected in that sense. But then it was my turn to go on stage, and I discovered that I did not bring my fucking shoes, Delta.
No. No.
I had no shoes. I had no shoes. Well,
but it would work for that number, wouldn't it?
It would have worked, but you know you need a heel. You need a heel. So
Do we still need to wear a heel? Or
I don't think so. I don't think,
not anymore.
I think you can just wear a big old fat like wedge platform. You know, I think it's fine now.
Oh, but we actually have to put shoes on though. Because I haven't had shoes on for years.
I haven't had shoes on since March. So.
Yeah, at all.
But so anyway, so I didn't have my shoes, and then Lady Bunny was like, here, girl, wear mine. And it was the clear kitten heel. It was low as fuck.
I love it so much.
It was comfort, it was easy, and I threw the fire through the whole Escuelita audience. Everyone hated me because I messed them up.
Yeah,
they were not expecting baby powder to be doused on them, and they were pissed at me. Carmen Carrera was in the audience. She reminded me when we were at Drag Race. She was like, yeah, I was there, girl. It was singing. And I was like, no, everyone was mad at me, and I had Lady Bunny's fucking plastic kitten heel shoes on. So there's my story about kitten heels.
Well, the thing is, I've worn someone else's shoes before. I've worn your shoes before. Because we remember when we used to work at Rage, which just recently closed, and we should talk about.
We will talk about that.
We worked at Rage, and then we were going right over to Peanuts because there was like somebody's birthday. Somebody was doing a birthday. And so we did the gig, and we were going over, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to wear this. And I had some, like, I was going to do some funny number. I was actually probably doing one of Varla Jean Merman's songs. And so I had sort of like a school teacher outfit on. And you were like, oh, those aren't the shoes to wear to Peanuts. And I was like, why? You're like, girl, those are not the shoes. You know better than that. So you had these like red patent leather plain pumps. But they were so fucking high. And you literally said to me, as long as you wear them from the parking lot into the dressing room, you can put on whatever you want for your number. If that makes the number funny, it makes it funny. But you're not walking into this club of gorgeous women with those shoes on. Like, at least serve it from point A to point B. Once you get on stage, do whatever you want, and they'll get it. But I've worn someone else's shoes. And, I have the tiniest foot ever. It's just so small. And you have those big, big boats, but I wore them.
So you were like a six in children, and I...
Right.
And I wore boats.
Well, once I got to the dressing room, those 5-inch heels were flats by the time I got there. But I did have them on, so...
Oh my gosh. We have so many stories to tell, and I think the perspective that we'll have on this new podcast will be very, very interesting. And what are you drinking?
I am drinking Diet Peach Snapple, which is like my obsession. I love drinking it. It's
Oh my god,
it's so good. You buy
That's
it in the
so
big...
you. I'm surprised that Diet Peach Snapple has not contacted you for an endorsement.
Listen, I was ready with this pandemic. I was ready to come on strong for the fall, because I am a PSL girl. I am pumpkin spice latte. I'm the whole PSL. I'm an infinity scarf. I'm UGG boots. I'm all of that. I'm Kaylin, Ashlyn, Rollin. I'm all of those people in one. And so
McKaylee,
Canyon, River, like
Canyon.
And I was expecting to come on strong with Starbucks to say, guess what? We're finally coming out with a sugar-free pumpkin spice syrup. I thought it was going to fix the pandemic.
This is, I find this preposterous. I mean,
I do too.
Like, I am not a pumpkin spice at all. I mean, maybe I am, but
you
like,
are.
I don't like to admit it out loud. But
she is within all of us.
Are you sure? Okay, you might be right.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Because, listen, if there was a pumpkin spice wine, I bet you would like to try it. You could just try it one time.
That sounds just fea. No.
It probably is fea, but you would have to try it because you like wine.
No, that's like my sister. Every time, both of my sisters don't understand my wine-like tastes. They get me wine for Christmas, but they always get me, like, Moscato, like, really straight girl wines.
Oh, you don't like that?
Yeah, no, Mom. I like my shit dry. I like it like clear.
Well, I can tell.
I like it,
yeah.
Thing.
You like those knees dry. The other day when we were working on that project for kind of centered around this, and we were just so tired, and we were talking about getting pedicures, and we're having this conversation. We're both sitting socially distanced, you know, from one another, and Raja's moving her feet back and forth, and I'm like, what is she doing? And it's pitch black outside. The day was over, and she was giving herself a pedicure by rubbing her feet on the back of the stone steps.
Stop it.
You were doing
Don't
that.
Don't tell everyone.
Why? You have to do what you have to do. I mean, right? I actually finally got my pedicure yesterday.
Don't tell everyone that I was filing my foot on a sidewalk. I mean,
oh, there's
I
so
have
many more
money.
Stories.
I have money. I can
Well, everything's been closed. So how could you possibly get it? I did get a pedicure yesterday in a strip mall on the asphalt. Like, they set up tents, and I was in Long Beach, and I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. And I had a great experience. I felt bad for the lady. I had to tip her $50 because I felt so bad that she had to experience that. But I also wanted to set a precedent that, like, I am a good tipper because I live off of tips. I totally get it. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to want, you know, people to know that, like.
But did she make you file your foot on the sidewalk?
No, but I did give myself sort of a mini pedicure in the shower before I left because I didn't want to show up and have her see. Have you ever done that? Like, you sort of try to maintain everything beforehand. Like, I was talking earlier about not with my pedicures.
No. But I have a housekeeper because you know me and you know how I live. And during this quarantine time, I have discovered that a man has moved into my apartment, like a gross man that smells bad.
Right.
With like stinky balls and horrible pits.
Oh.
Doesn't brush his teeth.
Okay.
And I discovered that that man is me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I never knew that I was that gross. So now I have a housekeeper. Her name is Angie. She comes once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And she cleans the house down.
Boots.
And so she came in and she cleaned the house. And I forgot what we're talking about because I'm getting drunk on this wine.
We're talking about like when you giving yourself a pedicure before, like,
Right.
Straightening up before.
So, yeah, I do straighten up before Angie comes. Like, I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, I don't want her to realize that there's a guy that lives here. I kind of want her to realize that those silk, you know, Chinese slippers that are underneath my rhinestone birdcage chair belong to me. Like, it's not like I'm not gross. I'm actually not gross, Angie. I take care of my apartment, sort of.
Well, you know, this is also very similar to like when people go out on a date and they like, you're going to go out to dinner. And so maybe you sort of like going out to a bar where you would pregame because you don't want to spend a lot of money on booze. You would eat something before you go out on the date so you don't look like a fucking pig when you get there. And you're like, oh, I'll have a diet salad and a small water. Like, oh, I don't really have that much of an appetite. I just usually like, I'll share some potato skins. Like, I'll just have a light. I'll just something light.
Fully loaded potato skins.
And then once you like really know somebody, you're like, I'm going to take the left side of the menu and it's fine. It's going to be fine. So we'll be right back after this.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Mama, okay, so what they do is they send us some credits so we can go on their website and buy some items. I bought this pullover, like, this sweatshirt, and now it's like my favorite thing to wear. I literally wear it all the time. It's like so cute.
I've been wearing Quince at least a couple times a week because these basics are so comfortable and I love them. I was just like, that goes with everything. Let's wear it.
Exactly.
There's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14 karat gold jewelry.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Now, Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach. And Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/ drag for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/drag and get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/drag.
Drag. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online.
Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms.
We all know everything is online these days, and it's important for your business to stand out. And that's why Squarespace is really important. We use it for Drag Queen of the Year, and it was great success. Great success.
I was marveling at the website's capabilities and the ease of use for each customer.
Well, the thing is, it was really easy and it ended up looking really nice. So I love Squarespace.
People say the same thing about me. So start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, whatever kind of business y'all ladies are in. Optimized for every device.
And then you can easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. So you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want.
And Squarespace makes it super easy to sell your products on an online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need.
Plus, you can connect major social and multimedia accounts to your website in just a few clicks, as icons, direct links, or embedded feeds. And sellers can also sync their product catalog directly with Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Google to reach more customers and reduce the steps for a purchase.
They've really thought of it all.
You know they have. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drag.
Drag.
To save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
That's squarespace.com/drag to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
We are back. We are back at Bury That. Me and Delta's.
You know, we say that. Well, I mean, I always harass people for saying, like, using certain words like, ooh, house down boots, or yes, mama. Like, you know, we always harass people because we hear it so much. But I was thinking when we were talking about doing our podcast, I was like, we actually say Bury That all the time, but we've said it for, like, I swear to God, almost 30 years. Like, we say it so, but for everything, like, in a conversation, when we're describing something, it's like we cut each other off because we already know where it's going. Yes, well, gross, Bury That.
It's a punctuation. It's like an exclamation point, a period, a comma.
On period.
Bury That. On period.
On period.
DT. Period.
With a T.
But, you know, it's just, it's punctuation.
Yeah,
Bury That. Bury That.
And you really, it's something you say with, you know, people, or we say with one another, because, again, we totally know where, once you start describing a person or a situation, it's like, you don't even have to tell me their name. I just know, like, oh, she's Bury That. She, yeah, I know her. I know that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether I know her name, I know that type of person in that zip code, in that zip code. I know, you know what I mean?
It's just zip very code that. It's or very area that. Code. Yeah, it's just, yeah, definitely.
It's very,
very that. It's very that.
But, you know, I mean, we should obviously be interacting with people because we should be listening to what other people have to say. And maybe they have questions for us. Maybe there's things that we have experienced or do with drag and or fashion or whatever that people because, you know, you're a I don't know. Are you a fashionista or are you a stylista? Because I think I'm a maxinista.
I think I'm more of like a maximista, too. Like
you've become one.
I've always been one. Are you no, you kidding haven't. Me?
No, you haven't.
Cállate, cabrona. Please.
You have not.
I've always been. Come on. I've always loved fashion. Yes. Come on. I always loved the Westwood. I always loved the fucking McQueen's. But I also loved a good thrift shop and a 99 only store. So don't even try me. Like, I love those things,
but, you
too.
Know, listen, once upon a time, you described yourself as very Robertson and I was very strip mall. Do you remember that?
No, but
yes, you do.
I don't remember that, but I would agree with myself back then. I will always be Robertson and you will always be Astro.
Listen, if there's not a Quiznos and an eyeglass, like an ophthalmologist in the shopping center, I'm not going. Like I'm not going in there. I have to see, like I have to have the anchors or have there better be like an Old Navy and like a DSW. Like I'm she. Like I am. And there's no secret about that. Like, there really is. I'm like truly a mom. Like,
PSL.
Yeah, I am PSL. I am a mom. Like, no one has said it. No one has approached me about it yet, but I will fully admit that without the same intention in the same delivery, sometimes I could be Karen. Like, I could be not with the same ethics, but with the same approach. Because I will get to the manager. I will.
Are you? But what is a Mexican Karen called?
Probably a Consuela.
A Consuela.
No. Probably an Espy. Espy.
Espy.
Espy. Down. Down.
Wait, I gotta think about that. A Mexican Karen is a Karen.
Not Karen.
Her name is Karen.
Carlota.
Ferrota.
Ferrote.
Ferrota.
See, we could sit here all day and just make sounds, and no one would know what do those sounds even mean? And they're not even words. Well, they are words to us, but to other people, they're like grunts and moans, and they're not they're not even sexual. I know people used to say, poop from there and all those things that we've said before, but like, they're not even sexual for the most part.
I don't know. I think they were kind of sexual for me, but maybe not for you. All right, let's answer a question or two. Let's see. We've got a question. This is an actual question from someone. It says, "Hi, Delta and Raja. I wanted to ask your opinion about highlighter as a makeup trend." I don't wear makeup, but I'm a big fan of drag, and I've noticed that highlighter is something that has been really trending in the past few years. What do you think about highlighter? Okay. When did you start using it? Sometimes I think it makes people look too shiny and wet and almost plastic and not human. Curious, what do you think about highlighter, and what kind do you like or dislike? Thanks so much. Love you, makeup virgin. That's the question. Well, highlighter.
I hit on two really cool things that I liked in there, and that was not human and plastic. I think it's great to look not human and plastic.
All pluses.
That's great. But maybe that's not your style, and that's okay too. I use a highlight color. So, under my eyes and underneath my cheekbone, I will use a highlight color, but not a highlight texture per se. So I don't really
use
that. Like,
what's on that shiny color in your cheek right now?
No, there isn't one. There's absolutely nothing there. I kid you not.
It's glowing like a highlighter.
Baby, that comes from, that's like a solarium. That comes from within. Do you know what I'm saying? Look, girl, touch it.
No,
look.
Not the Let solarium. Let me pull the hair off my face.
Look.
Mama, you got a solarium?
Girl, not one bit of highlight is on my face because I can't do it because I'll just look sweaty. For me, I will look sweaty. So I do my best to use like a matte finish. So there's, I know you see it. My cheekbone is so prominent, girl. Look.
Ooh.
It's just the prominence. I can't help it. I was born this way.
You don't need highlighter when you have prominence.
Mm-hmm. That's why I just use a little bit of gloss. I'm not wearing any gloss now, but
you're
actually
not wearing
any
lipstick. No, your lips are hot pink.
Do you use a highlight, like a shimmer highlight?
I do. Ooh. I do. Yeah, because you know what? Yeah. Because you know, people only see us from a distance now. Mm. Like we are literally socially distancing. Yeah, thank God. We're only seeing each other on screens, and I look great like on screen. Mm. But like don't see me in person because those pores are cavernous and huge and sort of they're canyons, basically.
Speaking of zip codes.
Yeah. Speaking of zip codes, there's my pores. But I do like a little highlighter, and I use whatever's available. I like it just at the tops of my cheeks. I like to look like the Australian queens, you know, like queens, but the Vanity, you know, Vanity from Wigs by Vanity.
Well, she looks gorgeous whenever she.
She's my
favorite.
They always have a shit ton of highlighter on their cheeks, and they kind of like started that before that was a trend.
Yeah, and she wears that beautiful blush too. That bright.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like it when you have like big cheeks and you just kind of like pop it with a little highlighter. Mm-hmm. I can use anything. Anything shiny works for me. My thing is like now I like to put on the spray at the end.
Okay.
Setting spray. Because that was never a problem for me before. But as I'm aging and as my skin is becoming drier, a little bit of setting spray like tones it all down and lays it down onto the skin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. When it comes to makeup, I mean, no secret. Everybody has their way that they do their makeup. And, you know.
You set with hairspray.
Well, I have. Yeah. But there's so many things I don't know how to do and haven't even tried doing. Like, I cannot highlight and contour with cream foundation. I don't know how to do it. I haven't even tried to do it. So everything is still powder. Everything. I just lazy, fear.
Lazy. Mm-hmm.
Fear, being fearful, being too cheap to buy the makeup. Because, you know, I'm not on everybody's PR list. So when the girls are like flooding the Instagram, like, oh, I got such and such new palette. I'm like, oh, really? Well, I bought mine, which I'm fine with. I have no problem. I like supporting, you know, especially.
I know. Every time I follow Gia Gunn and I follow Kimora Black. And I'm like, how did, and even Lagonja. I'm like, how did y'all get that free makeup?
Well,
I think you get more free makeup than I do.
They're very active on social media, and they're very good about plugging that, and so they get the word out there. So, you know, that's they're very good at that, and they're gorgeous dolls. I mean, who wouldn't want their makeup on them, right?
I suppose.
Look at you. Look at me.
Anyway, I put on some highlighter once in a while. Mm-hmm. I think we've kind of talked enough about highlighter and makeup. I want to talk about rage. Rage nightclub, because this is a topic as of the last 2 days, 3 days on my social media. I have seen posts and very, very compelling stories about the closing of Rage nightclub, which for most of us who live here in Southern California and have grown up within the community of the queers and the gays, and especially in West Hollywood, Rage has been one of those places that has been a you know, it's a staple. It's a thing that we're familiar with. And it's Rage and Mickey's. It's always been Rage and Mickey's to me, in my mind. Always. And Rage is now closing. And you and I have both spent a lot of time in it.
Yeah. Well, and in addition to that, you mentioned Mickey's. Mickey's also put out a statement that they're sharing this this letter. It's like it's a pre-written letter that you can sign and send on to, I believe, Governor Newsom. And to help the bar industry, because everyone is struggling, and so they have stepped forward and said we're one of those places that is struggling, not struggling because they didn't have anything to offer, but struggling because obviously this whole situation is people are fearful to go out. They're abiding by the rules, obviously. But as rules open up and as places open up and allow for a limited capacity, it's still just not enough. It's still not enough. And so these places are falling to the wayside. You know, we were, you and I both worked at Mickey's. Well, you still continue to work at Mickey's from time to time. But we worked at Mickey's years ago before the Showgirls show went in. We had Dreamgirls there. And then we moved from Dreamgirls over to Rage, literally right across the alley. And so now hearing that, you know, and then we left Rage after sort of, I would say, not show-wise, content-wise, or talent-wise, but there was, I feel like there was an attention that left our show and went to trying to promote other nights, not as equal to our night, if that makes sense. And
to be clear for anyone who's listening or watching right now, that the show that we speak of is the Dreamgirls Review, which for me has been such an integral part of my drag upbringing and the person that I am today is to be part of the Dreamgirls. And I remember being invited by Chad Michaels and Hunter, who is the pretty much the mother of the modern day Dreamgirls. And we had a very, 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 very successful run. And that Through the Fire number that I'm talking about, the one that anyone can see now on YouTube, was shot and filmed at Rage. And when I lived in New York and I missed doing drag in LA, I remembered the stage at Rage as being the stage to perform on. And until today, here I am, I'm 46 years old. And whenever I think of my favorite moments on stage, was on the stage at Rage.
Yes.
So let's make that clear to people who are listening, why it's so important to us and why we're even speaking about it. Because it could just be, you know, considered just another bar that's closing in West Hollywood. But as we know, for many of us, it was a place that was very important for us. We learned a lot. And it was our weekly gig.
Well, and it was a place where we sort of set set in motion a standard of what we expected out of a drag show. So we would constantly do theme nights. And that was a thing where it was like, we did, you know, Disney nights or disco nights or television nights or whatever nights we would do. They became something that people not only looked forward to and got dressed up to come see, but it came to the point where we would do them so frequently that we would all start to overlap characters. So it would be like, hey, this Disney night, we've got five girls, which who's doing Cinderella this time? Who's doing? And that's great because we would have such an arsenal of numbers. And now, you know, of course, by the way, anyone that's listening to this, Dreamgirls is something that was established like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But when we came into this, you know, 20 years ago or so, into Dreamgirls anyway, there were many locations. So there's Dreamgirls. And Dreamgirls still exists, by the way, in Long Beach. I produced the show at Hamburger Mary's. Pandemic has sort of set things aside. We were also doing it at Hamburger Mary's in West Hollywood. And, of course, in San Diego at Urban Moe's. But prior to that, we had Dreamgirls in Newport Beach, Dreamgirls at MJ's in Silver Lake, Dreamgirls at VIP in Riverside, Dreamgirls at Mary's, Dreamgirls, you know, Rage, Dreamgirls Mickey's. There were so many
locations. What about Dreamgirls Laguna Beach when we would perform Laguna on Beach. The pool table?
The best. I mean, those are such great memories. And so to see something like this, you know, transition, who would have thought in March that we would be where we are right now? And that we would be seeing, you know, even though we don't work there anymore and hadn't worked there for years, to see that piece of history go away and not be able to see other queens and kings and any other performer be able to have that experience and to make their mark on that type of stage. It's a little sad. I think it is a little bit sad. And of course, there's, you know, parts of us that are like, you know, you remember some of the negativity and you're like, well, get the fuck out of here anyway. Cause I'm over it.
But I have an equal amount of both because I know for a fact that there's a photo somewhere in my apartment, perhaps on a Polaroid of a photo of my friend Alvin and I, maybe like 95, 96, you know, outside of Rage, and we were wearing matching outfits and the most minimal makeup. And we just thought we were so gorgeous and so fishy. And Rage had not even, like, Santa Monica Boulevard hadn't even expanded to the sidewalk that it has now. There used to be a median at the center of it. This is how old we are. There used to be a median in the center of it that was made for trains back in the fucking early days of Southern California. And so I remember when there was no patio out there. And there's a photo of me out there with Alvin in our really bad drag. So my history with Rage goes a long, long time. And I understand, and I'm very, very sad to see an establishment that had such, you know, significance and importance in West Hollywood closing. It is very sad.
It's a sad time. I mean, it's so uncertain. You know, you don't even know, like, oh, things have, every other day, it's like, oh, things are going to get better. Things are getting better. And then to see that, you know, are they getting better yet? I mean, I do believe that there's always going to be a rainbow after a storm. And I do believe that, you know, the Renaissance came after the plague. But at the same time, like, you know, to when, mm-hmm. you know, when are we all going to get on board?
I think that's the glue that keeps you and I together, because we're both very optimistic about things, but we're also quite realists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're like, yeah, we really want this to happen, but hold on.
But don't be surprised if something completely flips.
Yeah. Someone might shove their dry foot unpedicured up your ass and, you know, just be ready for it. Just be ready for that dry foot.
We've had worse. I mean,
we definitely have.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back right after this.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meal. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long or night.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
These Factor meals tasted like loving from mother's kitchen. It was so delicious and tasted home cooked.
It's true. These meals taste super fresh. The food is so good and so easy to prepare. I love it. I can't get enough. Factor me up, honey.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Meals badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code
DRAG50
to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code DRAG50 at factormeals.com/DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Okay, and we're back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, them, they, their, that's. Welcome back to...
Thee and Thou.
Thee and Thou. Welcome back to Very That. Me and Delta.
So, we... there's a full story behind pretty much everything that we say, but there is... We have come across so many pictures from, like, just back in the day. And again, back in the day is a statement that I think a lot of people use. But whenever we look at pictures or we talk about
nostalgia,
different periods of time, nostalgia, we tend to say, "Do you find something?" In this case, when we look at a picture, we say, "Ooh, you see something?
Oh, you see something?"
And that specifically comes from a video that Raja came across once where if you're from Southern California, this will fit you very well. A very, like, hot white dad in a big truck is with a gorgeous Latin girl. And in the video, he's just totally going at it with her. And she flips her hair around and looks over her shoulder back at him as his face is buried in her gelatinous ass. And he says, "Oh, yeah." And he's starting to eat her ass. And she goes, "What does she say, Raja?"
"You see something?"
No, she said, "Hi, mister, you find something?" So, and we love her because she was gorgeous and the whole scene is gorgeous. And, but yeah,
you see something.
In this case, I see many things, and it's a picture of the two of us at Rage. We were just talking about Rage. Mm-hmm. I do not believe this is a theme night, but we are both sort of thematic in nautical inspired looks.
How did that happen? What was going through our heads at the time?
I don't know.
I remember we used to, like, it was always a ritual for me at Rage to get ready and sit next to you because I knew that we were always going to have the conversations that were like, "You see something?"
Right.
And I don't know what it was with us that one night, but we just decided that nautical was
I mean, you can tell this was a very long time ago. I do remember when you were bleaching your brows at the time. So I do remember that. And, you know, honestly, aside from me looking much younger than I look now, I don't think my makeup has really developed too much. I mean, it's like literally the exact same makeup that I was wearing maybe 15 years ago in this picture that I'm wearing today. So, you know, one trick pony as it is, that's fine with me.
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's what I say.
Yeah,
that's
what I say. For sure.
Although it does look like I have on shimmer, maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
It's the prominence.
Or you're just sweaty, you know, sweaty prominence.
Find something?
Find something. Find but something? I think that at that time I was doing a version of the Love Boat theme song.
Yes, you were.
That was by maybe Charo? Salsoul Orchestra.
Oh, my favorite, by the way.
Salsoul.
Yes.
Salsoul.
A little bit closer.
A little bit closer.
Move it in like this. A little bit closer.
Yeah.
You and me can dance so free.
A little bit closer. I think it was very that. I was feeling that moment. I was feeling very Charo, like Salsoul.
Mm. Well, I think what I was feeling at this time was... whatever they were selling in Torrid that was like a costume in plus size. And so I think I bought it and I was like, it fits. Because as you know, you've been with me many times and listened to me complain about the plus size clothing industry and how, you know, biased it is and how cruel it is. And so I think when I bought that, I was like, oh my God, it fits and it's cool. And it's from a new cool store. I'm going to wear it. So that's probably why
I don't think I even knew about what was the place you just said?
Torrid.
Torrid. I didn't know about Torrid until you mentioned Torrid. Torrid was like at its time, it was like the Forever 21 for plus. And
right.
So it was very
going, it's still going strong.
Really?
Yo, hell yeah.
Why don't Torrid should be like you should be like, you know how bitches be like Fashion Nova? Why is Tor not calling you?
Well, I think because the majority of their customer base is young straight girls. I don't think they want to have that vision right now. I don't know. That's a shame because their employees are always very nice to me when I go, and I do have a diva style credit card or whatever it's called. But where's my representation?
Yeah,
I'm a catalog model.
Hello. Hilir. So we're talking about this one particular photo here, taken at Rage many years ago. Yep. And
2007, it says.
Oh, 2007. That was the year. Oh my God. That was the year that I moved to New York. That was the year that I went to Provincetown. My hair was still long and black at the time. I loved having long black hair. In fact, the other day I did a Toot and Boot episode or something, and I put on some long black hair. And Raven mentioned, she's like, that's how I remember you, long black hair. So, you know what? I got those wigs ready. I got long black hair ready.
Do you have the short pink wig? Because that's a picture that we really need to see. We're going to do that picture soon.
Oh, my God.
The Honda Civic days.
The Honda... The chrysanthemum.
What about driving to Vegas in the Honda Civic in the middle of the night, throwing CDs out the window?
Was it even in the middle of the night? I mean, it was a long drive. I remember. Yeah, Delta and I used to do a gig way in Vegas when we thought it was like Vegas was the end all be all of like the pinnacle of any type of drag performance. You perform in Vegas, and we used to perform at a club called Wet. Was it called Wet?
Wet Bar. Yep.
Uh huh. And then eventually we performed together with Chanel with an SH. Please not to be confused. Chanel at what was the place
Gypsy.
Called? Gypsy. Yep. We performed at Gypsy together. And that was the time. And I remember the two of us driving in my Honda Civic. And I was just cleaning out. I was like, before Marie Kondo was even a thing, I was trying to find joy in my case, my CD book.
Uh-huh. And Case Logic.
Yeah. And we pretty much littered. Or I did. I littered plastic onto the the Nevada desert and just fling CDs out that I didn't need anymore.
Sandy Schmageck.
Schmageck. See, some people don't. Is Sandy Schmageck still in office?
I believe so. We'll find out about that, and we'll have to hit on that right before the election.
Is she a Republican?
I don't know, but I think at this point, I mean, even the Republicans are running away from the Republican Party, so...
But yeah. I mean, if your name is Schmageck, you might be a Republican.
But what do you think? Maybe it was Smegak. Oh,
a vagina. Schmageck.
I love that name.
Sandy Schmageck.
Yep. For president.
That, you know, fuck it. Raja is my old drag name. My new drag name is Sandy Schmageck.
I love it.
What else do we have to talk about, Delta?
You know what? This is so difficult because I always have something to complain about, and I know that. I know that's my fault. I like to complain about things and not really offer a solution to situations. But this is just like one little thing that kind of just has been kind of on my nerves, and that is like. I'm fully on board. I have been fully, fully, fully on board with social distancing, keeping your hands clean. I mean, these are things that are kind of a blessing anyway, because we probably should be distant from strangers a bit anyway. We should be washing our hands.
I'm going to tell you right now, like after all of this, like even if they find some sort of like way of, some sort of thing that will heal and fix all this, I will always wear a mask.
I mean, you know, Asian countries do it out of respect for one another and have been doing that for years. And so it's just such a surprise to me that it's such an issue for people to say, all right, so your belief system is that you know your body and you don't have a problem with it and it's not going to affect you. Okay, that's how you want to believe. That's how you want to believe. But are you that selfish to go, all right, if at the end of all of this, by putting this piece of fabric on, I could have maybe not prevented, but possibly slowed down or lessened the risk. I don't know why it's still at this point an issue. Like all these people that are like, I'm a patriot. I'm going to speak up, that you're not going to force me to do this. Well, are you going to speak up about, you know, a female officer from the American soldier at Fort Hood? Nobody spoke up for her. You know, mm-hmm. if you're a patriot and you care so much about the military, why don't you care about all soldiers? You know, you want to talk about all lives matter. Well, what about her life? What, it's because she's a brown woman. It didn't matter, mm-hmm. you know, but no, mm-hmm. you want to talk about a piece of cloth, but you're not the literally the military was not investigating it and was like, not talking about it at all. You want to talk about people getting swiped up at protests and put into vans and taken away. Isn't that the time to start speaking up? And I'm by no means saying that one amendment is more important than another amendment. If I'm going to stand by the Constitution or a Bill of Rights, I'm going to stand by it wholly. But what I am going to say is you probably don't need to have an AK-47 outside of, you know, your front door. And you probably... if you're going to speak up for other people and speak up about what the government is going to say about you or to you or for you, you probably want to speak up for the fact that, you know, black people are being killed in droves and mm-hmm. nothing, there's no consequence. And mm-hmm. it's happening more and more. And it's almost like expected at this point. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting for, especially girls for our age group, if you will, or our generation, what are we, X?
Generation X.
Yeah. I mean, you know, social media has really kind of changed the game for all of us. I mean, sure. I remember when I was first forced to text message somebody and I was like, why, when I can just call them. But now here we are sharing information, sharing right. our thoughts, you know, encouraging revolution through social media. And I gotta say, I really appreciate, because sometimes I can be a very lazy person in these matters, and I would prefer to sort of ignore these ideas. Mm-hmm. But then I always go to your page on Instagram, and you always sort of ignite this fire within me that helps me out. So I think it's a very important thing for us, especially for us who have platforms, if
yeah,
you will.
I mean, I wish I knew more. I wish I was more active. I wish
that,
I was
that,
more.
That's my role in this. I feel like I was more educated. But the thing is, I'm educating myself through listening to others, through just through living through the time.
I agree with that. But, you know, with that said, you know, we're talking about that social distancing thing. Can we just put out there to people that, like, if you're in line at the drive-thru, you don't have to socially distance your fucking car. Like, can you just move up if you're, because I really don't want my car out in the street. And also, like, with that said, when you're going to make a right, like, at a stop sign, go ahead and hug the curb. Like, just go ahead and, you don't have to, like, swoop all the way around in a Toyota Tercel. Like, you can just get on in there, like, whoop. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just, you know, be mindful of others and your space and this, and make no apologies for the space that you do take, but don't take more than you need, you know. Come on.
But you know what, it's very interesting and true that, you know, I think Americans are just kind of like privileged in the sense that we don't really kind of give a fuck about each other. We're like, me first. And you see other countries going through the same pandemic as we are and doing a better job than we are because of just consideration. I don't think kindness and consideration is a big part of the American value aesthetic.
No, aesthetic. The average American, I think, believes that being a proud American means following recipes in a PTA cookbook, and they believe that it's, putting out 4th of July decorations and buying $5 t-shirts at Old Navy. Like, that's not it. Like, it's not what's just the words in a Toby Keith song. Like, it's more, you have to love other Americans, not just the principle of what you think, putting off fireworks at the 4th of July. But why not?
Or at a gender reveal that has now ignited a fire across. So, like, listen, I, you know me, how much I love being in drag.
Right.
And I really wanted to wake up today and put on a shit ton of eye makeup and fresh eyelashes. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if you look out my window right now, it has been dusk
black. All day. It's just, it's awful outside.
It is this weird yellowy, orangey light due to smoke living here on the West Coast. Right now, I'm telling you right now, my eyes are watering with the windows open.
Oh, very
bad. Fires are happening.
Very
bad. And I keep checking my stove to see if something is burning because I smell it in the air. And that to me is another indication that I don't have COVID yet because I can still smell the fire in the air.
I mean,
Mary. Is that the time we're living in now?
It's really bad.
Do I have the virus? Apparently, maybe I don't because I can smell the burning fires.
Yeah.
In the sky.
Like literally, truly. That's where we are right now.
That's where we're at.
That's where we are. So, well, I mean, I think that this has been fun because, you know, I feel like this is what we do. I mean, this is literally this type of a conversation or variations of conversations is what we do every time we're together or when we're texting or whatever. So I think, you know, I mean, hopefully people will tune in and have a good time with us. Thank you guys so much for listening to Very That with Delta and Raja.
Yes.
Our show comes out every Monday.
It comes out every Monday, and we're also encouraging all of you to, you know, send in some questions. Email us some questions. Let us know if you want us to answer anything. Delta and I are both, you know, we have a wealth and a plethora, a cornucopia, a bevy, a buffet of knowledge. Mm.
The buffets are all closed right now.
I know, but we can provide you a buffet of lifetime experiences, and that's what we're here for. We're just here to remind you that life is, you know, it's just very that.
Can you make sure that you're the one who reads all those emails and then just filter the good ones to me? Because, you know, I have no tolerance. Like if there's too much slayage and mamage, like I'll probably just collapse.
Well, I hate to admit this out loud, but I have many times before, and every time I do, I just want to kick myself. But I share the same birthday as Donald Trump,
so
June 14th, I do.
And I share the same birthday as Mariska Hargitay, so
fuck. But also, I also share the same birthday with Boy George. So
that's good.
Yeah, me, Boy George,
balance, the Gemini. There's both sides.
Yep, me, Boy George, and Donald Trump. So. With that said, I don't like to read a lot because I'm a June 14th. I wonder if Boy George likes to read.
I like to read. I just I don't like the consequences when I do.
Yes, we would love anyone who's listening or watching us right now to please give us your questions. If you have anything to ask, it would certainly, you know, fill our conversations. Delta and I can talk together for hours and hours on end, which is what we do quite often.
Yes.
And it might go over your head and be nonsense. So if you don't want it to be nonsense or go over your head, maybe ask some questions for yourselves and ask us.
Yes, we invite this.
We're here. We're here.
You can send us messages to deltaandraja@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to Very That with Delta and Raja. Our show comes out every Monday, so we want you to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of our forthcoming episodes. We're so excited to be here.
So with that said, search Very That with Delta and Raja on your favorite podcast app and hit the subscribe button. That's all we need you to do because we're just getting started, but we want to hear from you and we want you to rate and review our show on your podcast app.
And we will be back next week with another episode.
Ooh, yas.
Oh, yas.
Oh,
it's very that.
Very that.
Oh,
very that.
Forever Dog.
Very That is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, aka Mom.
Hosted by Delta Work and Raja.
Music, sound design, and editing by Will Pitts.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.